When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, we're here. We're tardy for it, but we're here, okay? It's summer, and things happen. You got things you got to do. I got things I got to do. You had an anniversary you had to celebrate. I'm gonna let it slide. Bo Roots here. I'm going to let it slide that your anniversary is this year five?
I think it's five.
Five, fifth anniversary with your wife. You guys were off celebrating, so we couldn't pod and react right away to the to the release of the schedule for Nebraska and the Big Ten in general that I think went down
Friday,
on
maybe
on Thursday or Friday. Yeah. On Thursday or Friday. So there's a lot to react to. I always enjoy doing these things. I was going to do this by myself, but I was like, no, I'm waiting until Bo. Waiting for Bo.
I'm glad. I want to talk to you about this too. Pop quiz though. Did you know, this is my wife, of course, knows this and I didn't. She gave me a gift that revolved around, do you know what the 5 year symbolism for, like, you're supposed to get for an anniversary is?
No.
You know, like,
I didn't even know this was a thing.
Well, it's like there's like a silver is 25, is gold.
Right.
Five is apparently wood.
Really?
So you're supposed to give somebody a wood gift. I didn't know that. I didn't get her a dang wood gift. So
did she get you a wood gift?
She got me a wood gift.
Oh god, what'd you get? Like a Louisville Slugger baseball bat? Like,
Michael Jordan. People talk shit. No, she gave me a wooden bookmark, which I was like, I like it.
Wow.
Super thin though.
So. Right.
But, like, you know, things that guys don't know.
Right.
Not many people probably know, but
no,
especially guys don't
wood.
Know that.
Wood.
It's the wood anniversary.
When's the gold?
I think gold's 50.
Okay.
Right? Isn't gold 50?
That makes sense.
Silver's 25.
So you start saving up for that 50th.
I'm getting her
and
gold.
And then get her straight up gold on it. I like that. You know, Courtney, that's why she's great. She's locked in on stuff like that. That's great. By the way, Mava got Kim a bookmark. She made it at school because Kim's in book club with your wife and a couple of our other
women. Yeah.
But Kim's in like an audio book, you know, and so we didn't, what minor details, what Mava doesn't know doesn't hurt her. It was the thought that counts, but I'm not an audio book guy. But
okay, this is one that I have a bit of a critique on. Does it count as much to do an audio book as reading a real book?
I don't think it does.
I think the people that tell me it does, I don't want to agree. I got to be like, I don't think it's the same thing.
It's not your, I'm trying to think of what this would be. Like, it's not an active, it's not an engaged, active action.
You can passively
listen to a book.
Yeah. Not that you don't understand and can't take in what's going on. I just think it's easier to kind of ignore it.
Yes. Well, when Kim, I can tell when she's doing stuff around the house, like cleaning stuff up or whatever, and she's got her like AirPods in and she's, you know, you can't read a book and do the dishes.
No, you can't. I mean, you can read a book and forget what you're reading. That happens sometimes. We all do it. But then you usually go back and you have to, I got to read it again because I did.
Right.
I missed that. I was spacing off. I think when you're doing the audio, I just think there's way more chances that you're like, you're missing bigger parts of it because you're just like,
I'm gonna give points, you know, like
points
great job,
for sure.
You know,
yeah, but points
but
for
it's
sure.
Let's be honest. Sitting down, holding a physical book, and reading a physical book feels, I'd have to imagine it feels like a more rewarding task.
I do think you get more out of it. People that say that it's the same, I don't believe. I think there's something different you get when you read it.
I agree.
The words go into your brain somewhere. It's
a
whole nother level.
Well, Bo Rood, library member, he's not going that route.
Big fan of the library.
You're not going that route. Are you ready to talk about the Big Ten Flex Protect schedule?
Yes.
First of all, Flex Protect sounds like an extended warranty that you would get, like, as you're buying a car. You know, like, Flex Protect.
Is the new commissioner a former, like, insurance salesman?
I mean, he seems
like. We got the Flex Protect.
Flex Protect Plus, Flex Protect 2.0. Like,
What happens if there's a lightning storm? The first game of man's tenure. Insurance.
Yes. Where was that? When maybe Nebraska needed Flex Protect when Akron came to town. Goodness gracious. But so, okay, so the Flex Protect Plus model, I'm just reading from the release here, just so you know, it gives like a clear, concise, features a combination of protected opponents and rotating opponents for universities. Each member institution will continue to play 9 conference games per season, and then teams will play every other conference opponent at least twice, once home and once away, in a 4-year period. The conference schedules will include 11 protected matchups that will continue to be played annually and feature a combination of historic and geographic rivalries as well as trophy games. So we'll get into Nebraska's flex, you know, their protected rivalry game. But I guess, you know, it's hard. All of a sudden now, what, you're at 16 teams with USC and UCLA. I'm a division guy. I like divisions. I like conferences, like, or whether it's a conference where you talk about the Eastern Conference, Western Conference, the NBA. Yeah. Like almost every other sport, how they kind of crown champions. They do a lot. NFL has divisions. NBA has divisions. Major League Baseball has divisions. I like divisions. But unless there is true balance of who you play, like, I guess the consistency of a division just fits my brain better. But the hard part is when you look at the East and West divisions over the last handful of years, there was not balance there because almost every single year, the 2 and sometimes 3 best teams in the conference were in the East division.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you, and now you bring in USC and UCLA, and unless you're doing, When you stop doing geographic divisions, like based it on geography, yeah, now you're guessing, and that gets to be hard. So I say all that to say, I don't know, I wish there were divisions, but I don't know what the answer would be in that regard.
I would say my gut take on this, right? My gut feeling about it is, I understand what they're doing. Yeah. I understand like the reasoning, the parity, the fairness of it, right? This is more fair, unquestionably, probably more fair to do it this way. Everybody plays everybody twice in a two year span, home and away, right? Like we've had like a bad run of like kind of like bad schedules,
the crossover games,
unfair schedules. It was a little bit unfair almost, right? But I would say that I lean towards, I don't like sort of the randomness of and the everybody plays everybody. I am a division guy. I like to make the pool smaller of like who do we play most often,
yes,
and the rivalries get more developed that way. Like I prefer that. Like, yeah, the Western Conference for too many years and NBA have just been that much better than the Eastern Conference, mm-hmm, for a lot of years. But you know what? Like, I guess I just don't care. I don't care that it's not fair to, you know, Denver probably could have made it to a finals before if there wasn't Golden State and there, right, wasn't, you know, the Lakers and there, yeah, were, but like I would rather have a great Western Conference and just a great finals. And I think that to me is like, it is, maybe it's how our mind works.
Yeah.
Maybe it's dated. I just like it better. My preference is conferences. My preference is I want the, not one game that's every year. I want 6 or 7 games that are every year and one that's variable.
Yes.
And so that's where I'm just like, you're taking, once again, it's like having no conferences then.
Right? The point of having a conference is playing opponents every year. And while to a certain extent, they're the Big Ten is doing the best they can with this situation to see that happen. But at the end of the day, that's not happening.
No.
And you're going to have an inbound, and this was already the case to a certain extent because of how the two divisions were and with the crossover games and all that sort of thing. You know, like Wisconsin would win the West and they didn't play the same opponents that Michigan did exactly, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I just prefer two divisions. You got to win your division to get to play for a conference championship. It'll be interesting what this feels like when we get rolling, here's what we're staring down the barrel of. And the commissioner even said it on Big Ten Network that there's like a chance. What we're staring down the barrel of is a potential Michigan-Ohio State playing in back-to-back weekends at the end of every year.
That's a big mistake to me. Like, it takes – here's what that does also. That game, which is one of the historic games in all of sports, it makes the original game less important.
Yes.
Than it does the game after it. Then the game after it, which would be the Big Ten championship game,
yeah,
becomes more important. Like, why – like, I think that's one that they are trying – like, they're trying to be perfect instead of just being really good. Like, be good – at what we do versus trying to make everything perfect and potentially ruining what we've got. And to me, even just like saying this stuff out loud, like you just said, I go, man, I just don't like that now that I'm saying
it. Here's the problem is it's easy for us to sit here and say we don't like it. It's hard for me to sit here and say, do this instead. I'm not totally sure what the answer is. I don't know if you add USC and UCLA to the Big Ten West and then more to the east and just live with it.
I think when you look at, because right now Indiana is east. Purdue is west. Illinois is west. I mean, Illinois, Purdue, Northwestern, between those three, I mean, you're looking at that Illinois region. To me, those are the ones that go. I think Wisconsin's got to stay west.
Right.
Wisconsin's got to stay west. Obviously Minnesota, Iowa, those are staying, but between those three, USC and UCLA, which would make the West better.
Yeah.
I mean, USC makes the West much better. It keeps Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State all on the Big Ten East. And I just think, God, figure out between Illinois, Purdue, Northwestern.
How you want to separate those.
And we're fine. Like, we're doing good.
That would have been, if you had to hold my feet to the fire and say, what's your solution? That would have been my solution. Just add USC and UCLA to the West and then pick two teams that are the furthest east that make sense. Because you don't want it to be Wisconsin because now the balance isn't good.
No, and I think let's see here because I think even if we're looking at like these protected games – I'm just looking at Illinois. Indiana Purdue has a protected game. Illinois Purdue has a protected game, right? So
yeah.
Illinois Northwestern, right? So like I'm looking at Illinois and Purdue as being probably the two. They have to play each other. Anyway, it's like
you just slide one.
Illinois versus Northwestern. I mean, you name which one of those you think's the more important game. Put both of them together, in the East.
That would be my solution. So that was my first. I just wanted to kind of get into the general. We'll get into the Nebraska part of it now. But like in general, I'm a divisions guy. It works with my brain better. I like the spirit of it. Almost every other major sport does divisions, and that's how it operates. And sometimes they're in balance. Sometimes the NFC is loaded and the AFC isn't, or vice versa. Or sometimes the AL is better than the NFC. Like that's just kind of how it goes. And it has a way of balancing itself out,
To me, it's like if it's not March Madness, where it's like, hey, this is a tournament,
right?
If this is a tournament, right? This is where like the NCAA playoff is now a tournament. Like, okay, like that's fine, right? Then it's just you make it, you're in, play whoever, right? But like the idea of these divisions is that we're not having a super conference. And the more that we do this, it's like, well, then let's just do a super conference with everybody else. Like, because you're taking away the rivalries of like
seeing people every year.
The original Big Ten was like, there was 10 teams and you played 8 every year.
Right.
The Big 8, the Big 12, like you played the same 6 to 8 every year. Like that is the idea and the rivalries, the traditions, the fans, they go, here's where I go every chance I can go to Kansas, or every chance I can go to Oklahoma, or I can go to now Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin. You got to start building in the traditions instead of just like making it always just more teams and more variants or something.
So Nebraska's had one protected rival. Some teams had as many as, I think Iowa had three. Iowa's got Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And so Nebraska's one protected rival is Iowa. Now, Trev was on the radio. Trev said they submitted their top three choices for their protected rival were Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, but they only got Iowa. I'd love to know how all that? Is this like Tinder and you got Matt? Like Minnesota didn't swipe right on Nebraska, but Iowa did.
I'm hard that Iowa gets three and we get one.
This is weird. Because Trev, did you hear it real quick? Trev used the word that there was some gamesmanship to describe why it didn't work out for them to get all three. Gamesmanship. I'd love to hear him elaborate on what gamesmanship means.
To me, I think the first thing that has to happen is like, okay, what's obvious? What are the games that like not only the schools agree upon that they have to have, but like the fan bases and the history.
Right.
If history says, you know, Michigan, Ohio State are playing, or have to play, obvious, right? If, you know, Michigan always has to play Michigan State too, which it's an in-state rivalry, I would concede, yeah, Michigan should probably have two. But like once you start going past like, well, who else does Michigan have to play and it's not obvious, then maybe we just say, you don't get more than two until everybody else has gotten their two.
See, and here's what's hard is I think what people, because one of Iowa's protected games, if I'm not mistaken, was Minnesota. But I think that, you know, is that the...
That's
one of the trophy games that I don't think of that as a rivalry, but maybe to the fan bases, because we're not part of it, they have 50 years of playing Minnesota, and so it means more to them, yeah, something that we can't quite understand.
But what if one team has a trophy for every, you know, like,
but that's the thing.
It's like you can't have a trophy for every game, and that means you're special.
I didn't like the idea. One of the things I initially didn't like about this was that there were, like, one team could have one protected game and another team could have three protected games. I didn't like the... To me, it almost should have been everybody gets one or everybody gets two or, like, something to try to keep it as balanced as possible.
Or you keep your divisions how you want them to be. Right. Like, you know, just, like, that protects the games and, you know, like...
Because...
I don't know.
Because here's the reality is, Bo, for Nebraska now. With them only having Iowa as their protected rival, having fewer locked-in games, there's going to be a greater chance that the schedule makers put Nebraska against the top teams because Nebraska is still a really good television draw.
Yeah.
And so when the schedule makers, end of the day, as we found out, one thing that's been the true power players in college football are Fox and ESPN.
Yeah.
Those are the people that are controlling everything. And so what I think is going to end up happening is by Nebraska only having one locked-in rival, they're going to see USC, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State more often than, say, Iowa will because they already have three locked-in games.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it becomes a availability type thing, you know?
Yes, and like you said, Nebraska, if they're up – I feel like if they're up, their schedule will be managed better. If they're down, then they're like, I feel like Nebraska is the kind of raw meat that like a Big Ten and a Fox would be like, oh, well, yeah, let's, you know, if we got that slot and there's Ohio State, throw Nebraska against them. I mean, I feel like when they redid that schedule during COVID, was that the 21 year?
2021. Yeah, it would have been the 21 season.
And they started, we weren't supposed to play Ohio State until the end of the year, and then they played opening game, and it torpedoed our season, I felt like, because we got, you know, we come out instead of getting a win versus a team we felt like we could beat, not that we would have. It's like, you just start out like, oh, there's another loss to start the year. You know, like, we had to start with Ohio State when we weren't originally supposed to, because you got to say Nebraska is still a TV draw.
Yes.
We have all these crazy loyal fans that are all around the country. I can't tell you, like working for my company, when Nebraska's on, I always get that start of the year game. Everybody starts texting me.
Yeah.
And it's always Nebraska losing. I'm like, God, you know, it kills me. But they always are watching these first couple games of the year where Nebraska's on. They're not Nebraska fans, but they're just like, they're known. There's still that known quantity for people 30 and 40 years old.
Well, there's a reason that College Game Day came. There's a reason that Big Noon Kickoff came last year, you know, for two straight years, both Oklahoma games. There's now, it could be Coach Prime, but don't kid yourself. I mean, Big Noon's coming to Colorado and Nebraska.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's still a huge TV draw. So that's the one thing that I was thinking about of like, okay, with only one locked-in opponent and three non-con games, you have eight open dates. Iowa, for example, only has six because they got three non-con games and three locked-in games.
Yep.
They have, you know, so just by nature of availability, Nebraska's more available, and Nebraska's a big television draw. So I just think what you're ultimately going to see is Nebraska get the murderer's row schedule that they're getting in 2025 that we'll get into in a little bit. But, oh, by the way, Nebraska, they're, so in 2025, just to, we'll get to this in a second, but the Nebraska's playing UCLA, USC, Michigan, and Ohio State. Nebraska is the, I thought this was the case, and I was starting to research it, and someone did the research for me. Nebraska is the only team in the Big Ten to has, that has to face Ohio State, Michigan, USC, and UCLA in the same season. So, that, but I just think you're going to see more of that, which is, you know, it's just interesting. Are you okay? If I had to pick the one team that was the locked-in rival, I would have picked Iowa. I think, as much as I think you want it to be Wisconsin, but there's not that, like, there's real, like,
there's beef there.
There's beef between Iowa and Nebraska. There's history and a connection between Wisconsin and Nebraska, but I don't know if there's real beef. There is beef between Iowa and Nebraska now.
Yeah, there's beef now. Wisconsin has just gotten the better of us so much.
Right.
But the reason, like, I always feel like they're a copycat of Nebraska because they have Alvarez, who, like, tried to be like Nebraska. They never could fully be like old school Nebraska, but they've, like, bested Nebraska since they've been playing them for the most part. So I feel like the beef is a little bit more on our side than theirs. But, like, that could change if we start giving it to him.
Right. And I think it could change now because Alvarez isn't involved with Wisconsin now. And, like, they're redoing their whole identity. So I think things could also change now even.
And Minnesota more. Has heated up. I would say Minnesota, it's obviously, it's like, it's one of the closest, like, most relatable to us, I think, because it's like, totally. You know, Midwest Great Plains, you know, type of, geography. Yeah. But like I said, PJ Flex done a really good job the last couple of years against us. And I think we're starting to heat up where if we were kind of dismissive of Minnesota to a degree, we are not anymore.
Right.
And that rivalry could take off more.
I agree. And that's another reason it's like kind of sad that Nebraska's not going to play them every year.
Yep. Now that puts a damper on it.
So. Before we get into the schedules, Chattel had an interesting column on Sunday with some quotes from Trev Alberts that I wanted to kind of unpack and get your thoughts on, because Trev hinted at potentially rethinking non-conference scheduling with how tough the conference slate is now with the addition of USC and UCLA. I'm just going to read from the story, and then I want to kind of get into it. This is from the Omaha World Herald Sunday column from Chattel. This is a quote, starts with a quote from Trev Alberts. Says, quote, "The reality is you play in the Big Ten Conference and you add USC and UCLA. There is nobody's schedule that you look at and go, oh, wow, this is easy. Now, I will say you have to have some common sense. If we're going to play this kind of conference schedule, you have to have some rules about non-conference. There's some long contracts that we have inherited. Quote, part of the problem is knowing what the college football playoff is going to look like. What's going to be emphasized? There are future non-conference games scheduled against power conference teams, Colorado this in 23 and 24, Tennessee in 26, 27, Arizona in 28 and 31, Oklahoma in 2029 and 30, and Oklahoma State in 2034 and 2035. So I think what Trev is maybe hinting at here is like, hey, man, if the SEC is sticking with eight conference games, which, by the way, they are right now, and we're playing nine conference games, and we've added two really good opponents with more looming conference expansions of Notre Dame or different people coming down the pike, there's a chance that Trev is saying, hey, we need to maybe rethink our non-con schedule and maybe not play a power, maybe play three group of five teams instead of playing one good marquee non-con game.
What's hard is like those kind of contracts, if we're like into the mid-2030s, like, are there ways out of it? Like, I mean, I'm sure there are. But I think with the changing landscape, it's hard not to think, like, if the goal is to get in the college football playoff, like, you're making it really hard by basically making it 10 freaking hard games year now because the Big Ten is that good. So I don't know. I always feel like, I mean, the idea of, it's amazing to throw in an Oklahoma and a Tennessee.
See, but that's what's...
But, like, it's like, we're also, like, I do understand, like, we're trying to win. We're trying to win and get two places, and stacking the deck against yourself is kind of like, I mean, there's a reason why Nebraska won a lot of games is because they, you know, they would have a non-con, one tough non-con, but, like, it was like you also knew you had Iowa State, Kansas, you know, these teams that were like you knew Kansas State for a lot of years, you were just going to run over those teams. And then it was like, yeah, you had to deal with Oklahoma, and maybe Okie State was good, but maybe they weren't. You know, it's like we had the Big Eight. We knew how to win the Big Eight for 30 years, right? And the Big 12, a little bit more of the same, but, like, you know, it's the same thing. Like, you start adding too many of these good teams, it's like it doesn't make as much sense to do the non-conferences really hard.
But here's the thing that, because I agree with that, but I also want to do this. And this is going to be hard to do, and this is very, like, idealistic of me and all that. But to me, with the expanded playoff coming in 24, this gives college football a chance to kind of reset everything. Where for the longest time, college football, and this is a part of what makes it unique and good, but college football is kind of basically the only sport that is totally paralyzed by a loss.
Yeah.
Every other sport, like in the NFL, and I get it's the NFL, but for the longest time, like if you went 9-7, you were like, you had a decent year. Like, yeah, you pretty good. Like, not bad, right? In the NBA, you can go, now again, this is 82 games, you can go 45-37 and be like, that team was pretty good, you know, and be viewed favorably. College football is good where it has the urgency of every week you either got to perform or you're like, your hopes of winning a title can end in 1 week. But I also kind of want to reshift that. Like,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Because what's hard is, as we're sitting here going like, boy, I don't know, I think they should maybe get out of that Tennessee series in 26-27. No, I think we all lose when that's the case. As a player, you want to play Tennessee. As a fan, I want to watch Nebraska play Tennessee. I'm not as excited about Louisiana Monroe coming to town. I'm more excited about Tennessee coming to town.
Yeah.
But so what's hard is everybody wins in that scenario if we just shift how we view, like, an 8-4 team playing, like, hey, that 8-4 team that played 10 or 11 really good opponents.
Yeah.
We feel good about that team getting into the playoff and winning a national title instead of having to be 13-0 and perfect and unblemished. You see what I'm saying?
I do. I see what you're saying, but see, that to me makes, like, the conferences irrelevant almost. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that is the path towards conference irrelevance. Versus, like, you have to win your conference to get into the show.
Well, there's going to be four automatic bids that are conference champs.
Yeah, and then
there's at large bids, and then there's a spot reserved for a group of five. I'd have to double check that. Shame on me for not knowing. But there's going to be.
Yeah, it's like it slipped my brain. It's going to be eight, right? Eight teams now?
Yes, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, yes.
I might have said 12. But no, right. The expanded playoff.
Yeah, the more that the playoff expands, like the more, like, I guess it leads towards that. It matters less. It's like, yeah, we'll eyeball it, and yeah, obviously the conference champions get in, but then we're gonna throw in the really good. Like, and maybe that's what people want. I guess for me, I always like it where, like, it puts more pressure on to win the conference, and it doesn't give you the buy of like, well, I lost the conference, but now I'm gonna go run the table. Like, so maybe, like, I do skew towards, like, I want, like, maybe it leaves more chance for something a miracle to happen or something. You know, like if it's like the best team always has to win, I kind of go, no, I just want the team that's playing the best sometimes to win. And like that might mean that like Alabama's the best team every year and they have two off weeks and that costs them the SEC. And so some other team gets a chance to win. I'm like, I think I like that better versus like just the talented teams are always going to get the second chance. I kind of don't like that in a weird way.
I mean, that, what you're describing is what has made college football special. What makes it special is the urgency of every week. Every week, like when you're, for the most part, Ohio State, Michigan, Bama, Georgia, these schools, like any week, it could all come crumbling down.
And it needs, that's what I think those, otherwise those, it's always, I mean, right now it seemingly is those four schools are the only ones that have a chance to win right now. But like, we need to find a way to make that less possible. And to me, it's like giving those teams more opportunities, I feel like it's a bad way to like bring parity or something, right?
Yeah, but
I don't know. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
what you're saying is like, well, too much hinges on one loss, but it's also like to me is like that's the only way you get an Alabama out is they need like the circumstances where they lose and then somebody else sneaks into the.
I also think SEC. I also think of what I'm getting at because we went to and this is like I took it there. We went to the top of the totem pole with our conversation. I also think there's an element of the middle of the, even the teams that don't make the playoff. I think Dirk, I don't have the tweet in front of me. Dirk had a tweet along these lines and you know, he wanted more aggressive, he wanted better non-conference matchups. Cause his point was like, listen, if you go 3-0 and you play three shit teams in the non-con and then you go 3-6 in your league and you go to a bowl game, like his whole comment was like, you're not fooling anybody.
Yeah,
you know,
like I see what you're saying.
Like because we also need to make. I mean, I have never been a bowl game guy. You enjoy. I don't want, like you love the Alamo Bowl and you enjoyed all your bowl game experiences. For me, as like a outsider, like I've bowl games to me outside of a couple have just always been. They're not my thing. But we need to do away with this. Like there's this sixth win. Now it's like if you get to six or above, it's like. That's pretty good. It's like, well, there's ways to massage your way to get to six wins. Where are you really that good, or did you schedule your way to six wins? Like,
but I think that's what we're talking about is old college football versus new college football, and the more emphasis on the playoffs. Maybe you're right. Like that's where, maybe they need to, like, the weight of schedule needs to be factored into things way more.
That's what I'm hoping. I think what that's what Trev's comment of saying part of the problem is knowing what the college football playoff is going to look like, what's going to be emphasized. I guess maybe what I'm really saying is, like, I do want to see a world where the committee, when they're dealing with an at-large team, they're going to view a team that is 8-4 but played like two really tough non-con games, including one on the road against a Power 5 team, that, and played 10 Power Conference opponents or 11 in this case or whatever it is. They view that and weigh that into consideration to a positive over a team that played three roast beef states and only 8 conference games, and they only played 8 Power Conference opponents. Because there was a stat that Scott Docterman looked up in The Athletic that next year, only 2 of the 14 SEC teams are going to play at least 10 Power Conference opponents. 13 of the 14 Big Ten teams are playing at least 10 Power Conference opponents.
Yeah.
That's significant.
Yeah. So yeah, I think what's hard though is like once we start talking about 3-4 losses though, to me it's like that's the hard one for me. Like I can obviously one loss, I think you absolutely that shouldn't weigh the committee too much. 2 losses though, if there's teams with 1-0 losses, it gets a lot harder. I think it gets a lot harder to make that argument, because I do think there needs to be, if we're going to do this thing called conferences, I think it's got to be way more emphasis on the winning the conferences, which there's the automatic bids. But then it's like, it's got to be like a one loss situation. You know what I mean? Because it's hard. I mean, it's unless they like figure out a way to object to the most objective way possible, weight these schedules. But like, it's just, I don't know how you can do that fairly, you know? Like, that's what I don't know.
But that's
where
I do think there should be, like, we need a commissioner to, like, there should be universal scheduling parameters where everybody has to play a similar schedule.
There you go. So that's the part that's...
So that, but until then, like, a way to do that is for the committee to reward. You need to incent. Right now, if you're the SEC, why would you play? Why? They're sitting there going, we run college football.
That's it.
We get to play only 8 conference games. We also, oh, by the way, we get to play an FCS school in the middle of November. So yep. when the season is at its peak of physical toll on you and pressure, they get to step out and play Mercer.
Yeah, we get Michigan and they get Mercer.
They get Mercer.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is I want the college football playoff to send messages like, no, SEC, you need to, like, we are going to view a 9-3 Michigan over an 11-1 Auburn because Michigan played 10 power conference opponents. You only played 8 or 9, and they played one road non-con game at, you know, whatever, at Oklahoma or Texas.
Maybe it's like you can't, like, maybe the degree of schedule difficulty, like you can't even get into the playoff unless you meet a criteria for, like, schedule difficulty, right? Like,
yes.
Maybe it's like, you know, like, instead of like an automatic bid disc if you win the conference, like, okay, maybe that should happen, except if you don't have...
You didn't meet the criteria you non-con, you didn't play a power conference team, or you...
Yeah,
like, whatever.
You had to play a good enough... if you have a super easy... even like the Big 12, like if the Big 12 is like way down and you have like no difficult non-con, like maybe that doesn't get you over the threshold of like your schedule wasn't difficult enough that we now can open it up to... Do we take 3 from the big the SEC or the Big Ten? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, maybe that is a way to do it where if you meet the threshold, you get the automatic bid. If you don't, like, then
something.
We defer.
I'm hoping with, see, what's hard is there's the expanded playoff, but it feels like conference realignment isn't the dust. Like, there's still going to be more changes. So it's hard to really set the parameters of what you want this thing to look like until truly all the dominoes have fallen.
Yeah.
But I guess for me, I see this expanded playoff and the disintegrations of conferences where it's like, it's just kind of, you know, what does a conference even mean anymore? I think there's an opportunity for college football to improve itself by resetting these kinds of things that we're talking about. Scheduling mandates, how many, everybody has to play the same amount of power conference opponents. Everybody has to play... there are no more FCS opponents or whatever. We need to get into
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think, but maybe there's going to come a day when, like, pretty much the Super Conference happens.
Yeah.
I think the Super Conference is going to happen, and then the strength of schedule is going to be infinitely more important.
Right.
Because you can be – it's going to be more fluid with what you can, like, what you're capable of scheduling. Because right now, like, if you're in the Big 12 or in your, like, in the AAC or one of these kind of, like – you're playing, you know, like, if you're Florida Atlantic, like, you'll have no shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in one of these other conferences, like, you know, these super conferences, then it just, you know, it's
the,
like,
opportunities afford them.
The opportunities will be there for every single team in the super conference.
Right. So it's
going to trend towards that, I think.
Oh, that's where I think we're going. But it's just interesting to hear, you know, Trev allude to that. But then I just think sometimes it's weird. We live in this world. I was joking with Schick when we recorded, like, Trev should have requested, like, yeah, for our protected games, we want Indiana, Rutgers. You know, like, it's this weird thing where, like, isn't it weird how we want Nebraska not to have a tough schedule? We being the media or fans or whatever lens you want to view that through. You want Nebraska not to have a tough schedule, but then what game are you more excited to watch? When Indiana comes to town or when Michigan comes to town? Or are you more excited for Northern Illinois coming to town or Ohio State coming to town?
So it's
just kind of what we want out of this thing we call Nebraska football and college football. It's just, I don't know. It's just,
I'm just so in at the point where I want us to just win
versus
anyone, that I want the easier games until we can take the tougher games.
Sure.
Like, to me, I like the idea of getting it. The easiest way to start winning 6, 7, 8, 9 games or whatever. Like, once we get there, Then we start saying, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we played Oklahoma again?
Right.
And, you know, 50, 60 year anniversary, all that stuff. That stuff's funner when we're up. When we're down and we're getting our butts kicked, it's
well,
less
exciting.
Well, that's
what makes the 2025 schedule like, ooh. You know, just you don't know what they are. Real quick, let's go through the 24 and 25 schedules, and then we'll get out of here.
Okay.
So the 2024 schedule for Nebraska, not near as daunting as 2025. So here's Nebraska's road opponents for 24. At Iowa, at Northwestern, at Penn State, at Purdue, at UCLA. I mean, not in, going to Iowa, to Penn State, to UCLA, not those are tough roadies. Your home slate, Indiana at home, Michigan State at home, Minnesota at home, Wisconsin at home. So not a brutal schedule there.
But that's not the Big Ten's good enough. It doesn't feel easy either.
No, right. Like even the easier side.
Like we're gonna get to this in a second. It's only comparatively looks easy. Being at UCLA, at Iowa, at Purdue, at Penn State, like that's
brutal.
Not a great, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Minnesota at home. Like
that's not easy.
It's just like it's Big Ten's gotten harder. It's gotten really good.
Right. 2025. When I looked at this, I was like, "Oh my god!" Road games at Maryland, at Minnesota, at Ohio State, at USC. You could make a case the two best teams in the conference are USC and Ohio State. Nebraska going to both of them. Home games: Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Rutgers, UCLA. That's right, folks. Nebraska is going to play UCLA, USC, Michigan, and Ohio State all in the same year. Oh, by the way, I mean even like a roadie at Minnesota is no joke.
And then our rivalry game,
Iowa is no
Illinois
joke.
Has been giving it to us.
And Nebraska that season at this point is still scheduled to play at Cincinnati in the non-con. And Cincinnati, at least now they lose Fickell, so who knows what will happen to them. But like Cincinnati just made the playoff a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty tough schedule. I mean, there's a world where Nebraska could be pretty good and go 6-6.
Yeah, and I think this is... You know, when I heard USC and UCLA were going to join the Big Ten, the thing that came in my mind was like, you know, one, we have a history with both schools, right? Like, we've been playing UCLA since the 70s. Like, we always find a way to work them in. And USC is a school that, like, I played twice in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, and that was, like, those to us were big matchups, obviously. Secondly, geography-wise, we're the closest USC and UCLA. We're the farthest west team, and now all of a sudden, we're the first jumping-off point. So for scheduling, if there's an opportunity... they're going to put us against USC and UCLA
to give them a break
the most because it's the easiest for their travel schedule.
It's funny you say that because one of the things that, you know, you know, it's like, damn, USC and UCLA in the Big Ten, the travel is going to be crazy. But you then see it in a schedule and you're like, oh my God, USC and UCLA's travel schedule like this. I'm looking at USC in 24. They have to go to Maryland, to Penn State in two out of the 3 weeks. They have to make... That is coast to coast, pretty much.
That sucks.
That is brutal. I know for like Creighton, when they even have to go half, you know, they're at halfway. They're halfway closer, right?
Yep.
They're in the middle of the country. They got to go half the distance. But they try to, I think they try to get favors from the Big East where they'll have to play Seton Hall and Providence and they'll stay out there and play Seton Hall on a Saturday and Providence on a Monday or something like that so they don't have to come back and forth. So it's just... You knew it was going to be crazy, but man, that travel for those two teams—that's
I'll say this: they joined the conference. We're doing them no favors with this flex schedule. Instead of them playing Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, right? Like if that's the West, right? They're coming. You know, they're taking that 2-3 hour flight, right?
It's
two-three hours charter flight.
Right. Nebraska's been doing that when they go to the East. You know,
not great. You only have to do, a couple of those a year, right? You got your, four or five games.
Well, they'll play each other, and then they'll get their non-con games. Or maybe
and they'll have three. They'll have three homes, and they got UCLA. They'll always play UCLA, right? It makes sense. It just makes a lot more sense geography-wise to me to keep it, especially expanding like this, getting that far west, keeping geography a little bit more sane.
Right.
And now it's like, now we're going to spend more of our trips going to Rutgers, to Maryland, to Penn State. Like, it just puts more. It just to me, it's just like that's more like stress on travel and things versus just like making it simple. So I don't know. I've said my piece. I feel like I don't want to be too anti-conference because I'm actually excited for some of these games.
But
I just don't know that it's working to our favor.
We'll wrap it up with this. This is the last thing I wrote down in my notes. What's tough is it's hard to get too worked up over any of this because it feels like more expansion is inevitable, which will lead to the schedule changing of the scheduling format again. Yeah. Like there's a reason they only put out 2 years worth of a schedule here because I feel like in 2 years you have Notre Dame looming. You have some people talked about Florida State and Miami looming. Like, you know,
Florida State and Miami.
Yeah, there's been some chatter there. I mean,
well, then it's like,
What's happening? You know,
so I guess here's one thing that like I kind of, this is where once you go USC and UCLA, I mean, I guess you look already at Maryland and Rutgers, but like the Midwest was unique in the sense of like it has its own style, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like now, even just talking about this, like we've lost the regionalness once we kind of throw in USC and UCLA. And then once you throw in Florida, it's like we're not the Midwest. We're not the Midwest thing anymore. Right. You know, it's like we're not.
Right.
And I think that, like I say, I think it's a mistake. I just think it's a mistake to get to keep letting this thing get too big and not keeping the uniqueness. The uniqueness of the Big Ten, the uniqueness of like the SEC. The SEC, like,
it's a different brand.
If you got Wisconsin and the SEC, it's like you're not the SEC anymore. Like the SEC is like, it's
or
Southern
you put
football.
Iowa in the Big 12. It's hard for the Big 12. You know, Big 12 is Texas schools throwing it 60 times a game.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, it just
Nebraska's rare. That kind of like was like the hybrid between the two. But like, you want to keep the uniqueness. I think the parody in the conferences is fun. And we're kind of starting, it's starting to bleed into like.
So that's the thing. That's just it. But it doesn't feel, it feels like there's going to be another round of realignment. And so whatever scheduling, you know, there's going to be a Flex Protect 3.0 by the time this is all done. And so it's hard to get too worked up over any of this stuff because this feels like this was written in pencil, not pen, because there's going to be more teams eventually added to this thing. You know, like you would think, I would think at some point, you know, this could be Oregon. You know, some other pack, there could be Oregon, Stanford.
Oregon, Washington,
Stanford. You know, those kinds of teams maybe joining in to keep some Western. And maybe then you could kind of cut it and do a West and an East to try to balance it out. I don't know.
But then it's just like, you might as well just say, we're now two super conferences, like competing for TV rights.
Yeah.
And then it will
all just
be like, well, then it's like, was it the Liv Golf and PGA? Yeah, it's like, then we're coming back together. It's like,
right,
whatever.
Right,
it's like,
right. But that's where it feels like it's headed. So. Are we going to go? We've had a little text thread going about, we going back to UCLA when Nebraska goes out there?
Oh.
We went out to the last one. We maybe need to head back out there.
Roosevelt Hotel.
Roosevelt Hotel.
We'll see you soon.
Seriously, we maybe need 2024.
I
think we need to start talking to some people. Okay. Anything else with the schedule? Or have you said your piece and we're out this thing, dog?
I said my piece, man.
We out this thing, dog.
A Herd at Sports Network production.